Paul's writing, and he says something that we use for St. Francis only because we think St. Francis experienced the same thing. He said, let no one make trouble for me. I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. So real quick, what are the marks of Jesus? What are the marks of Jesus? He's got a mark here on his hand. He's got a mark here. He's got a mark here. And he's got two marks on his feet. St. Francis of Assisi was famous, like others, because he was allowed to carry the same wounds, to share the same pain. It's like you love someone so much and your heart of hearts cries out, Lord, I don't want you to suffer alone. Let me suffer with you. And St. Francis suffered. We call it the stigmata, the markings of Christ. He was allowed to suffer. Padre Pio suffered the same thing. And apparently St. Paul makes reference to maybe allow us to think that St. Paul was granted that same miracle, to suffer the wounds of Christ in his own body. That's just trivia. I just want to focus on St. Francis. He teaches us two things. One, the simplicity of life, the simplicity of the heart. Nowadays, we're very complicated. We try to have more, we try to think harder, and we sometimes overthink. We have a whole world out there. When you Google God, the number one response is like, well, I don't think God exists because of this. I've overthought it, and there can't be a God. You know, just the world doesn't make sense. And they're suffering. And because they're suffering, how could there be a good God with suffering? And if there's all this space out there, well, how could God make all this stuff? And where is God? I don't see him anyway. And we overthink it, we overthink it, we overthink it. And we could give answers to all those over time, but at the end of the day, here's a random thought, one of many. Bear with me. When you're younger, you can confess this if you want out loud. Did you ever have an imaginary friend? Anybody dare to confess that, yes, Father, I had an imaginary friend. His name was Lucy. Whatever your situation was. That's not just American, not just Catholic or Christian. It's like you run into that in Africa, all these different cultures and throughout times. Like, it seems like there's this tendency of children, before they're complicated, to have an innate, an unborn, like a natural sense that there's more to this world than what I can see. I'm not saying the imaginary friend is real, but there's a sense that there's somebody else out there. And if I couldn't see him, I would try to invent him because I know I can't be alone. That just doesn't fit my experience of reality. Granted, his name isn't Santa Claus. That's a different kind of belief. I was watching Spider-Man Far From Home. Anybody not see that yet? I don't want to spoil it. Oh, man. All right, we'll go watch it. But it's interesting that part of the solution is Spider-Man has to distrust what he can see and trust his Peter Tinkle, his Spidey sense. He hates it when his mom calls it that. But he has to learn how to trust that there's an inner instinct that is more reliable than the overthinking and overseeing and overanalyzing. There's an inborn sense in the human heart that God is real, that God is with us, that I'm not alone, that I wasn't made from chaos, and I'm not an accident, and life does have a purpose, and I don't want to screw it up, but I can screw it up. There's an innate sense that there's this order, and if there's order, then there's an orderer. And our Lord says, I'm there for the simple. I reveal myself to the simple. Those of us who are overcomplicated struggle more to find God. Those of us who think of it too much, think like it's got to make perfect sense or I won't believe it. Well, our mind doesn't necessarily have to understand all the infinite treasures of the universe. So we can be humble and say, I don't get it, all of it, and that's okay. The simple can do that. The complicated are too prideful to say, no, I have to understand, then I'll believe. The humble says, I just know it doesn't make perfect sense, but I believe. Because God has said so. Because history supports it, moral experience and the voice of conscience. Who is that guy anyway who tells me what I'm doing wrong when I'm doing it wrong? Anyway, it's there for the simple. The other thing St. Francis teaches us is the vanity, the emptiness of every promise the world wants to make to you. Every reward this world can give you. We all really want to win the championship this year, and it's a really good thing to want and to fight hard for. And you know what you do every practice. You know how hard you push yourself. You know how mad you are at yourself when you don't push yourself and you pay the consequences and you miss the play, you miss the tackle, you drop the football. We fight hard for those championships. I had a glimpse of a championship recently. I actually never won a championship. I was kind of a loser. But anyway, I just did a dancing competition. I'm not a dancer. I used to think dancing was weird anyway. But it was a fundraiser, and we were honoring my uncle who passed away last year. And so I was asked to be with Dancing with the Stars. I've never seen Dancing with the Stars. Apparently, it's pretty intense. It was a fundraiser, and I was one of nine competing. We worked since July to get this silly two-minute dance to Johnny B. Goode, right? And now it's got like 6,000 hits on Facebook. I never had that many hits. I mean, people like give my homilies 20 hits, but I guess when I dance, it's a big deal. But regardless, it was a lot of work. We were there practicing every week, my partner and myself and the choreographer. And we did it, and it was awesome. It was like 700 people like standing up, standing ovation for what we did in 2 minutes. And the next day, guess what? It was over. And a year from now, no one's going to remember. And it was a reminder, like, I fought that hard for something that was really beautiful, and I'm really glad I did it. I fought proportionate to the outcome. It was 2 months. It wasn't 20 years for 2 minutes. It was 2 months for 2 minutes. But if we fight that hard for things that are here today, gone tomorrow, and they're all good, God made them good, He wants us to enjoy them and to work for them, all the more is the lesson to let go a little bit of the need for them and hold on to the things that actually last. Your friendships, your relationships, your family, your faith, most of all, because heaven is lasting and you don't want to lose it. So you work all the more hard for that. And as much as I push myself for the trophies that are here today, gone tomorrow, it's a spur to say, I'm going to push myself that hard and more in my relationship with Jesus Christ, my relationship with God, my loyalty to Him. As loyal as I am to my team, who's with me today, and I hope to be friends with them for the life that I have left, my friendship with God deserves the best of my attention, the most intense effort. And St. Francis shows us that as awesome as it was to have all the money his parents had earned for him, and he earned for himself, at the end of the day, it was as good as it was. It was nothing compared to the treasures of heaven. And the joy of bringing one more person to share in that treasure. And he gave his life for it. So we simply ask St. Francis to intercede for us to learn the lesson of a simple life, a simple heart that God can reveal himself to. And the reality that we work hard for the things and rewards of this life, but we therefore work all the more for the things that last forever and are not here today but gone tomorrow, but are here today to stay forever. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.